started their work, and they went over to Jordan in the Middle East to work with refugees, work among a lot of Muslim communities. And they have a heart and a passion for the gospel, for sharing Christ in difficult areas. Well, many of you may know they had to end up leaving Jordan, going back to Brazil. So that's where they are based right now. But he's still in the process. He travels all over the world where YWAM sends him to help meet needs and to share the gospel. I want to show you a short video that he sent to us recently. And let's remember to pray for Wesley and Priscilla. And I know he loves the Lord and loves to share Christ wherever he can. Ushers, would you please come forward at this time? By the way, I put in the subtitles for you, because when I first saw the video, I had to listen carefully, and I tried my best. Yes, I thought you'd appreciate the subtitles. And you might notice a theme every time Wesley sends us a video. Sorry about my English. But he's a good man. All right, let's pray and lift up all of our mission projects and let us give to the Lord. Give cheerfully. Father, thank you for your word to us, that light that you've told us to share at home and all around the world. Thank you that we can support people like Wesley and Priscilla to go into these regions to work, to share, to make disciples. Lord, I pray that you would lift them up, strengthen them. I pray, Lord, that you would provide fruit for their faithfulness, for their labor. Lord, give them health. Watch over them. Lord, we think of all of our missionaries. We thank you last week for Brother Jason and the challenge that he gave to us. Lord, I just pray that you would strengthen them all. And may we be faithful to not only give, but to remember to pray for them, to lift them before you. Receive this offering for your work and your purpose and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Brought his family. He's a fellow pastor in South Auckland. Brother Jeremy Sinclair, his wife Eliza, South Auckland Bible Church. South Auckland Bible Church is a sister church of us, and part of our same fellowship. We fellowship with a group of other churches around the country, and it's been a pleasure to get to know him. I know he has a love for the Lord, love for the gospel, and love for missions as well. Brother Jeremy, just if you would stand where you are, and Eliza, and can you introduce your family, Jeremy, and who all you have with you this morning? Amen. Good to have you all with us this morning. I've asked him, of course, to share the word with us, but I've also asked if he could share a bit about the ministry and their background during the 10 o'clock hour. So I encourage you to be here for that, to learn a bit deeper into another ministry. I think that's beneficial for all of us. So let's welcome Brother Pastor Jeremy Sinclair. Come and share the word with us. God bless you.
Is a New Zealand Māori. I like to start as Testing 1, 2, 1. Oh, that's it. So ko te mea tuatai ki te atua, e honore, e gloria ki te atua. That's basically first words go to our God, or honor and glory go to our God. And as we're here this morning, it is certainly a blessing to be a part of the family of God and to be a part of saints here worshiping together. And I thank you to the praise team for those beautiful waiata, those beautiful songs. As you know, Pastor, thank you to Pastor Ken and Pastor Mike for inviting me here today on this this time to be with you in Missions Month, and certainly a blessing to get to know pastors better. We had some time away with them down in Papamoa, and it was just a blessing getting to know your pastors as well, my wife and I. But this morning, I want to share with you some teachings from God's Word that has encouraged my life. And Lord willing, I pray that it will encourage you in the work or the ministry that God has called you to. Certainly, we are to take our lights out into the world. And as little lights out in our community, we are to shine the light and the light of Christ to all those who so desperately needed to hear it. And as you know in the media, as you know in the news, the kind of area where I've come from, there's been a lot of things going on in the community, very sad things going on in the community. There's been shootings, there's been gang-related things going on. It's been very difficult for a lot of families. But for us, even so, the ministry is more clear to us to be a light. This country needs people, saints, who are faithful to the work God has called us to. And I'm just going to get connected here. We'll see how we go. Ooh, AirPlay password. That's what's coming up. Not too sure what that is. I'll get you to whack that in, sir. Pastor, what I continue on here. If you'd like to take your Bibles and turn me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Now this morning, I made a little bit of a mistake these past few days. The message that I got is part of a two-part mini-series. So you're going to have to come on later on this morning for the second service to hear the second part of this mini-series. So I'm going to speak about the first part this morning, and because of time, I won't be able to get to the rest of it. So Lord willing, you can stay, and Lord willing, you can be here and listen to the rest of these points that I'm going to bring up this morning. I've entitled this message, My Faith, My Life, My All. And out of all the Old Testament characters in the Bible, there's one particular character by name, his name is Abraham. His life inspires me, and I hope that it inspires you, simply because of the way God used Abraham in the work that God had called him to. And he had a special task to do, and what he did was just absolutely inspired me in the ministry over the years, what he had to do, what God had called him to do. You know, as we face struggles in life and the unbeliever looks intently at our lives. Thank you, brother. They are hoping to see how we handle situations, how we handle events in our lives, in our life. Will we stand on the promises of God and be a light in the community, or will we reject all that we know and be true, all that we know to be true, and trust in our own strength and forsake the Lord when things get too difficult for us in life? We are called to be lights in the world. Will we shine as those lights in a dark place, or will we hide our faith and not disclose the truth that our identity is found in Christ and Christ alone. Before I start, I'm just going to commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Our Lord, Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace this morning, Lord, I pray that as your word is ministered this day, Lord, whether it's at this point in time or later on today, Lord, I pray that as you send your word out, Lord, achieves the task which you send it out to do. Lord, I pray that the hearers this morning will be receptive to the teaching of your truth. Lord, I pray that we will just see our lives in light of Scripture and be that light that you have called us to be in a dark place. Lord, you have called us to come and surrender our hearts and lives to Christ. And Lord, I pray that we will recognize that our identity is no longer ours, but we are hid with Christ. Lord, I pray this morning that you'll just guide these things into the lives of each hearer, and that we will live in obedience to your truth. Lord, I pray that you'll just hide your servant behind the cross. May you be seen. Lord, we pray these things in Christ's name we ask. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16 says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." This scripture that we're going to talk about this morning, Hebrews chapter 11, is kind of a series that I've been going through. And Hebrews chapter 11 is what we recognize as the faith chapter, the hall of fame, characters, special characters in scripture that this writer, Hebrews, brings out, did those things that lived a life by faith. Did they have everything sorted out in their lives? No, they didn't. They have their struggles, they have their issues, much like myself. But at the same time, they trusted God. They hoped in the Lord. In the midst of trials, we wonder. We seek to find meaning in our trials, and sometimes, as in Abraham's case, God explains a bit of the purpose. And other times, we just don't know, but we continue to trust in the circumstances. God will fulfill his word. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to your purpose." This portion of scripture this morning I'm going to read in Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to pick up from verse 8. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. And it says this: "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the stands which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom he was said, 'In Isaac your seed shall be called.' concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. I want us to note here this morning from verse 11 and 12 of Hebrews chapter 11, as it speaks of Abraham and his family. The largest part of Hebrews chapter 11 is devoted to Abraham and those connected directly with Abraham. And it starts off here in verse 11 with his wife Sarah. He says, "By faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised." I've got here my first point. I hope you can see that the faithful find their strength in God. The faithful find their strength in God. The faith of Sarah, she found strength in God. The word strength there is that word dunamos. Dunamos. It means power, mighty. In this instance, a miracle. Dunamos is where you get the English word dynamite. Power, explosive power. The power of God that worked in Sarah to conceive seed. Now Sarah, she was 90 years old. Abraham was 100 years old. But God had promised them that he would provide for them a son. Genesis chapter 18 verse 11 and says, "Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing." Romans 4:19 says, "And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb." It was impossible, medically speaking, for Sarah to conceive and have a child. She was past childbearing years. But God was faithful to his promise he made to Abraham. And Sarah gained strength to conceive a child. It was utterly impossible for Sarah to bear a child. However, Genesis 21 verse 1 goes on to say, "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time in which God had spoken to him." So God did what he said. God promised what he said. God is a faithful, promise-keeping God. And what I see from this account, this short account here with Sarah, she had the faith to trust God that he will provide. Now, initially, did she really believe? No. She was standing in the back in the corner, and ha 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 ha. When she heard this person telling her husband, your wife's going to conceive a child by this time next year, she laughed. She didn't believe it. Abraham didn't believe it either. Yet they eventually came around to understand that the God who promises what he promises will provide for them. And so verse 11 rightly says, she judged him faithful who had promised. She judged him faithful who had promised. So that's Sarah. The faithful find their strength in God. We find our strength in God. Whatever God has called you to, the ministry, whatever friends or work colleagues, whether what your neighbors or in your community, our strength is in the Lord. And he will give us the strength and wisdom to speak out the gospel truth to others that we come across. The faithful, my second point is, the faithful may not see the rewards of their faith this side of eternity. Moving on from there, verse 13 goes on to say, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the land." The faithful may not see the rewards of their faith this side of eternity. This scripture brings out the truth that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they were in the land. God had promised them a land in Canaan, some 60,000 square miles of land from the Euphrates to the Nile River. And God had promised them this, but did Abraham ever settle in the land? Did Isaac ever settle in the promised land? They traveled in the land. They never had any fixed abode in the land that God had promised for them. So we find here that according to Genesis 12 and later, God made a twofold promise to Abraham. A twofold promise to Abraham. The first was a material promise, a blessing, that he would be the father of many nations and that kings would descend from him. And God promised him that his descendants would inherit the land of Canaan, which was a great expanse of land. And the second promise was spiritual. God promised Abraham that in his seed, all the nations of the world would be blessed. The promises encapsulate the ministry and the life of this greatest descendant of Abraham, which is who? Who's the greatest descendant of Abraham? Very good, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. He's the greatest descendant of Abraham. And those promises fulfilled and continue on till Jesus Christ and even sometime after. Those verses bring out the account there in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In verse 7, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Today God has brought Israel back into their homeland. However, it is not a complete. The promises that God gave to Abraham and for his descendants is not yet complete. There still needs to be a spiritual revival for the nation of Israel. A waking up of the nation of Israel will take place, and that will be sometime into the future. No one knows when. But God has, at a time, focused on bringing the Gentiles in. Romans chapter 11, verse 25 brings out this truth. As the final Gentiles will come in. That's an amazing truth. Because he has dealt with Israel. Israel rejected their Messiah, and now the Gentiles are the one taking the gospel, shining that light out. But God is not finished with Israel. I don't believe in replacement theology either. The church doesn't replace Israel. God has a place for Israel. But at the same time, God has a place for you and me. God has a purpose for you and me. Romans 11, 25 brings out that truth. Till the last of the Gentiles to come in. That's an amazing truth that involves all of us. Because you could be today the last person to bring the last Gentile in before Christ returns. And then the focus is back on Israel. And what are they going to do? That's sometime in the future, but it may be today. Are we sharing the gospel? Are we taking it out to those friends and families that we know who so desperately need to hear Christ in their lives? They may be the last person to come in. And so the faithful may not see the rewards of their faith this side of eternity, and that's what Abraham did. He didn't see the rewards. God promised them, but he didn't see. He didn't see the rewards. It was for his descendants after him. And that's why I like the faith of seeing the example of Abraham in his life as an example to me, because I may not see the rewards of involvement in people's lives and ministry this side of eternity, but it may come later. In other words, it's telling us, don't give up. Don't give up. Perhaps there's an unbeliever in your family. Perhaps there's a prodigal that you want to return, see, come back to the Lord. Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep trusting. Because the same Lord who provided for Abraham and Sarah also will provide for us and give us what we pray for according to his will and his purpose. Let's look at this next part here. Second part of verse 13 and verse 14 says, verse 13, but having seen them afar off, we assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. Declare plainly that they seek a homeland. The point there is the faithful are fully convinced of the reality of God's promises. The faithful are fully convinced of the reality of God's promises. God is faithful to all his promises, nor can he fail or deceive. He is all wise and foreknowing of everything that comes to pass. Hebrews 10:23, and also a larger reading from Hebrews 6:13-20, says God's promises are certain. An unchangeable truth, as Hebrews 6 says, that God who keeps an oath, the God who cannot lie, will keep his promises. And those portions of scripture. The certainty of God's promises. The reality of God's promise is not just a mental assent or a few choice words at the right moment of time, but rather, as these verses point out, it's a living, breathing reality of life. It's living in such a way as you are walking and talking, following none other than Jesus Christ, following him around. Trusting in God's promises is as real as the air that you breathe. And that's why it makes the scripture so special in our lives, because it speaks to our very souls. It reminds us that God is faithful and he will provide. The faithful are fully convinced of the reality of God's promises. Several things to note in verse 14. From verse 13 and verse 14. But having seen them afar off, according to Abraham, we're assured of them. The assured of them in the Greek is pithos, by analogy to pacify, to be persuaded or convinced of. Rest assured, no more arguments. We can believe what God says that he will do. It says there in the scripture there, they embraced him and they confessed. What does embrace mean? Well, looking back in the Bible dictionary, it means to salute. Embrace means to salute. In other words, what he is saying there, my marching orders are from God, and I will obey. We don't get our marching orders from the news. We don't get our marching orders from any other thing other than the word of God. How we ought to live. How we ought to conduct our lives. What is our purpose in life? And also they confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We sing the song, this world is not our home, just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And so those beautiful choruses. They were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Don't get yourself so fixed on this earth. A lot of people get themselves so caught up with things. My father always said, how empty is a life full of things. Some people give their lives for land. We hear in the media these days as well. Yes, there's land, thing to pass on to descendants. But if you read Revelations, that's all going to go. So don't invest your life in things in this life. Two things that last forever. The word of God and the souls of men. We need to invest our lives in things that for eternity. Not things that are temporary, that fades away. Where James says, moth and rust doth corrupt, KJV. Where thieves break through and steal. Invest our lives in souls of men and people and the word of God. And so what confidence is it when a believer lives with such a heavenly reality that shows that they are not from this place, that their citizenship is not from this place, because their eyes are fixed on Jesus. Their eyes are fixed on Jesus. And so the faithful are fully convinced of the reality of God's promise. Moving on here, verse 16 goes on to say, but now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. The faithful forsake all and follow God. The faithful forsake all and follow God. God uses the events that we face to challenge and strengthen our faith, to grow us spiritually, to be more like Jesus every day. Abraham was an example of one who, in practical terms, lived out his faith. He didn't just say what he said, but he did what he was going to say. He did what he said he would do. For us as believers, what we said we would do at the cross is that we will follow Jesus. That we will trust him. That our hope is in him. Oftentimes, like I know from my life in the past as well, I've forgotten that. I've turned from that. But in confessing my wrong and saying that I really don't know, I can trust in the one who does know. Job was one who didn't know, didn't he? He didn't know what was going on. It was a transaction that took place in heaven. Yet towards the end of Job started to point his finger at God and asked, why? Why is this happening? And God said some things to Job that just went, shoof, over his head. And Job said, I don't really know what you're talking about, basically. In other words, God was saying, you try and micromanage the world for a second, but to simply trust him. And God bless Job. And so we find here in the scripture, God uses the events that we face to challenge and strengthen our faith, to grow us spiritually, to be more like Jesus. Abraham could have turned his back, but he chose to stay. He could have turned his back, but he chose to stay. He could have went back to the Ur of Chaldees, but he chose to go where God would have him to go. Later on this morning, we're going to look at he chose to do what God had told him to do. Lord willing, you'll be here to see the second part of the sermon. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith produces patience. The trying of your faith produces patience. You want more faith? Be faithful with what you know about God's word today. You want your faith to grow? Trust him in the little things. And he will give you more to be able to trust him with. And so to the faithful, their affections are now fixed on heavenly gain. And they choose not to return to those worldly pursuits again. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, for our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, is working for us a more exceedingly eternal weight of glory. We find in Scripture, Philippians 3:8 also says, yet indeed, I count all things but loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. That's the Apostle Paul speaking, giving a testimony about what he has come to, the realization that he has come to in his life. Did he suffer? Yes. What he was beaten and left for dead? Yes, he was. He suffered many things. Yet he came to this realization that he counts them but rubbish, but loss, for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. He has suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that he may gain Christ. Christ was Paul's motivation for faithfully forsaking all and following Christ. And Paul writes in Galatians 2:20 as well. He says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. For the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The faithful forsake all and follow God. The faithful forsake all and follow God. And then we find in this scripture, in verse 15, if truly they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But verse 16 says, but now they desire better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. God is a faithful covenant-keeping God. And he can be trusted, and he can be hoped in today. Whatever you're going through this morning, know that there are examples there in Scripture of those who live lives, and in a practical sense, we're faithful to God. Will you live a life that is faithful to God this morning? Whatever ministry God has called you to, or what you're thinking to be involved in, even the faith of being able to give unto the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about money here. I'm talking about, first and foremost, giving of yourselves. And the Lord will bless. Giving of yourselves to the Lord for his honor and for his glory. That's message number one. Come back for message number two later on. So let's just close this time in a word of prayer. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And just this reminder in Scripture about living lives of faithfulness. Lord, we will see later on this morning in the life of Abraham what you have called him to live a life that is faithful unto you. To live in such a way that reflects your heart. Lord, we pray this morning, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the saints here today. Lord, perhaps there are some here who do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. May they not leave this place without first trusting Christ. Perhaps there are some here even this morning who have been faithless, who are struggling, who are having trials in their faith in terms of doubts. Lord, when we are faithless, you are faithful. When we are hopeless, you are our hope for us. Hebrews chapter 10 brings out that this hope is an anchor for our souls. Lord, may we hold ourselves fixed in the knowledge of the truth that you are a God who keeps your promises. That you are a God that we can hope in, that we can trust. And it's as clear as the air that we breathe. Lord, may we see our lives in light of Scripture today. Lord, thank you for this time together again. We ask for your blessing even after this time as we continue on this morning. We pray in Christ's name we ask. Amen. Thank you.
Stand for just a few moments. Perhaps a message has touched your heart this morning.